Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. Twilight concert series tickets are on sale this morning. Twilight is our beloved summer staple, and it's brought everyone from Angel Olsen to Snoop to the steps of the Gallivan Center at around $15 a ticket. Now, I lamented the sad boy energy in last year's acts, I'll say it. But this year, things are a lot more festive. So how do we end up with these lineups anyways? And what local fan behavior drives the decision-making? It's Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Ali Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Will Sartain, co-founder of SNS Presents, your company books the Twilight Concert Series in both Salt Lake and Ogden, as well as the Kilby Block Party. Now, we have been a little critical on this show about Salt Lake's concert lineups in the past, across the board, I gotta say. Mainly that we get a lot of the same kinds of artists, Death Cab for Cutie, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to pull back the curtain with you today. What goes into making booking decisions?
I think each project that we work on, how we look to curate them depends on our goals for each project. And for example, with the Twilight Concert Series announcing yesterday, our goal is to produce a very diverse lineup serving different audiences, a large musical contrast, ideally. And I think we've accomplished that this year, which is really great.
For anyone who's missed it, what is the lineup?
Okay. June 21st, we have Lefe. June 27th, The Sacred Souls. July 19th, mm-hmm. Watch House. August 7th, Jungle. August 16th, The Marias. And August 21st, Alex G.
Okay. I know The Marias and The Sacred Souls.
Okay.
Which says a lot for me, because I don't really listen to a lot of music, well, admittedly.
Interestingly, when we do surveys about Twilight, most respondents say they're interested in 1 to 2 concerts. So you fit the person.
I'm normal.
You're normal. Hooray.
Thank God. I mean, when you're thinking about something like, let's just take one. Let's take Downtown Twilight as an example. What are some of the factors that determine what artists you can even pursue, or let alone whether or not they're available, as opposed to like booking, you know, a venue, for example?
Yeah, so the Twilight Concert Series is a partnership between the Salt Lake City Arts Council and SNS. So we're contracted to produce the series and meet some goals. So our goal here is just to stay within a budget that works for the ticket prices that we're aiming for, $10, $15. And it also depends on who's available. A lot of times it won't be feasible for certain artists to perform concerts in the time frame that we need, or they're not going to be in this part of the country or this part of the world. And so there's a lot of wild cards that come into play. And we're just looking for opportunities that make sense for the series itself.
This is like kind of a technical question, but how do you know who's where and how much they cost? Like, is there a lookbook or like a group chat of bookers?
No, I mean, I think we do a pretty good job of outreach to booking agents who are either aware of the series recently or maybe have worked with us on the past. And so we'll be contacting people a year prior, just bringing up that we're going to be looking for artists that could be traveling during that time frame that would work in the budget. And so it's sort of a slow process as people's plans start to unfold. It might be like, oh, we should consider the Twilight Concert Series because we'll be in Salt Lake City. This might be our best option for Salt Lake. It's a unique opportunity with like a rich history. So things like that. Yeah.
I want to address the idea that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, which is that we sometimes see the same faces pop up in these lineups. And I think a lot of the overlap, honestly, is with like Red Butte concert series and Twilight as well. Like the Flaming Lips love Ogden. They've played Ogden Twilight 4 times. I'm seeing St. Vincent is back this year. Are there, like, do artists reach out to you and say, we love Salt Lake, we had a great time, can we come back? Or is there an affordability, availability sort of factor that goes into some of those particular choices?
I think, although there have been some repeats, especially last year we had the Flaming Lips, Death Cab for Cutie, I think generally we're always trying to get new artists, and maybe the repeats work well because there's some comfort within. They understand what they're getting into and things like that. But like, for example, this year for the Twilight concert series in Salt Lake, none of these are repeats. And so I don't know. I think it's a mixture, I guess, to your question.
Something that we hear often from local bars and restaurants when we have gripes about menu items or hours is these profit margins are narrow, y'all. Is the same true for booking and concerts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're looking at like the amount spent versus the percentage earned on top of that, if you're making a profit, is always pretty slim. Our business model is different. Concerts are different in the sense that you can open a restaurant for a night, and there's, of course, risks. There's staffing you have to pay, but there's massive liability if tickets don't sell. The sky is the limit to lose on events, too. So just the expenses and the foundational pieces of what we're trying to do are pretty expensive for something like this.
What do you mean if they're profitable? Should we assume that a lot of the shows we go to in this city aren't profitable?
Some are and some aren't, yeah. I think it's a mixture. Obviously, we're in business and we hope to make money, you know, so we can support our staff and pay the artists and all those things. So I hope people don't go to a concert thinking about that. I hope they just go thinking about going to have fun and enjoy themselves. So I don't know.
I mean, what is the biggest thing that can undermine the business model? Is it ticket sales?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really? That's, yeah.
Yeah, if people come, it works. And if people don't, we have to change our models.
Well, let's talk about who's headlining this year, because you guys have some pretty big gets. Twilight Downtown, Twilight Ogden, Kilby Block Party. We've seen a lot of these lineups on our feed as of today. Which ones are you most excited about or proud of? Or what are like bellwethers for the kind of artists we can get in Salt Lake?
I'm a huge Joanna Newsom fan. She's performing at Kilby Block Party. That's one that I'm really proud of, that we were able to not only coax into performing a show, but just to have her in our city is such an awesome blessing. And, you know, LCD Sound System hasn't been here in many, many years.
That's
maybe
huge.
14 yeah. years. And those are the kind of acts that you just don't get to see very much. And if you do, can you see them in your hometown? And it's pretty rare. So that's special. And then on the other hand, things like Leifei, who's performing at the Twilight Concert Series in Salt Lake, that for our kickoff show is super special. She just won a couple Grammys. I got an email saying I was in the top 1% of her listeners. So I am a bit biased, but yeah, I'm really excited about that lineup as well.
How do you feel about being a tastemaker in that sense? Like an artist goes from being in the top 1% of your listenership to headlining Salt Lake City Twilight, a total institution, beloved institution in this city, especially as it grows.
Well, in that particular booking, my job was pretty easy. So like, I can't take a ton of credit. And also we have a large team. Not only do we have 5 booking coordinators, we also have a large team of, you know, like a ticketing coordinator, marketing coordinators, graphic designers, production staff. We have a lot of ears listening. And I think it's really special that we have these type of artists performing our projects, but we can't take a ton of credit for that. I think it's luck and timing and trying to put ourselves out there that we're available.
Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten Mom's Day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea, very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah Margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
Last year, when I looked at the Salt Lake Twilight lineup in particular, one of the things that I did notice was kind of a lack of diversity when it came to women artists and artists of color, specifically with the headlining artists.
Yeah.
How are you thinking about like diversity when you're booking?
Well, I think last year, what I would say, that there wasn't as much diversity on the top end of the bill, but we did have 11 acts that were female fronted, 8 acts with people of color. And so I would agree, actually, that it wasn't as diverse as we would like on the top end of the bill. But I'm really excited this year we were able to land a lot of artists that really hit on the core mission of the Twilight Concert Series. A lot of diversity in cultures and sounds. And I think we definitely nailed it on that part of the bill this year. So I think the criticism is definitely warranted on the top end of the bill last year. But we always try to round out our bills with as much diversity as we can, especially the Twilight Concert Series, which is it's a very important part of that mission.
What is the core mission?
Like I said, the Salt Lake City Arts Council contracts us, and so we take on a lot of their mission, accessibility and affordability. It's really important to us to have a local opener on each show, diverse performers, and I think we want to have our community members reflected in the lineup. So yeah, that's kind of the overall goals.
I mean, when I think about who lives in Salt Lake City and seeing them on stage at Gallivan for like, you know, downtown Twilight, I think I want to see more like cumbia, Will, like more Latino artists.
Yeah. And so Latino artists are very important to the series. Like when we started working on Twilight, I noticed that there was a lack of Latino artists for many years on the Twilight Concert Series. And so I started thinking about like, what can we do here? And then in 2022, we had Cuco, which is really cool. And this year we have the Marías, which I'm really, really excited for. I think there is a large Latino community in Salt Lake City. And I think that in years to come, I think we're definitely going to try to get more Latino artists for sure.
I think people want to dance. Like, do you know the story of DJ Oscar downtown?
I don't.
Okay. So DJ Oscar is this like, gosh, when he started, I think he was a 19-year-old kid that started setting up just a 6-foot plastic banquet table with a speaker. I used to call him DJ Oxcord because he would just like kind of plug in and play a playlist of like these classic, like almost like you're at a Mexican wedding hits. And I couldn't believe how many people were so clearly traveling to downtown. He would set up at like midnight on Friday and Saturday nights at Exchange Place just to hear those songs and like dance it out. And I think there's so much opportunity. I agree with you.
Yeah.
For Latin artists to draw a crowd here.
Yeah. And I think cumbia is interesting. I'm really hoping we can get more like Mexican regional music in the years to follow. And you can see those artists are blowing up, like Peso Pluma, Ivan Cornejo. Those artists are just really doing well, not only here, but across the U.S. And I think it's a really exciting time.
I know that you think about, you've said, like, each of these projects differently. So I want to ask you, like, Salt Lake Twilight, Ogden Twilight, Kilby Block Party, if we think of them as different spheres of influence, what is the target audience for each?
The Twilight Concert Series in Salt Lake is a partnership between the Arts Council and SS. And then Ogden Twilight is also a private-public partnership. It's owned by a person locally based in Ogden. And then Kilby Block Party is our thing. So we book and produce Kilby Block Party on our own. So I think that Twilight Concert Series in Salt Lake can vary from year to year. And I think that can be frustrating for people. In Ogden, I think there's like definitely a specific aesthetic that they want to go for and build a brand around. Very like classic indie. And Kilby Block Party, for me, definitely will vary from year to year, but we want like quality indie music. But I'm not afraid to try new things. Like we had a very rock heavy 2023, a much more like, I guess, some more dancey elements in 2024, but a lot of the surrounding kind of like complementary acts were somewhat similar. I don't know. I think we have an aesthetic that we're trying to hit on, and it's really fun. Like I'm working on 2025 for Block Party, and it's really fun to just kind of like see the evolution year over year, where it's like different, but there's some crossover from year to year.
I mean, we have colleagues in the CityCast network who want to travel here to come to the Kilby Block Party. It's really making a name for itself regionally.
I think 60% of our 3-day passes this year are from out of town.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I think overall there will be more out of town people per day than in town people. And it's really exciting, but almost maybe a little frustrating. We hope that as the years pass, we can get a little bit more of a local audience. And it's still a strong local draw, I think,
yeah.
But it is exciting to like see people from around the country, from every state show up, you know, like I think we covered every state last year.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I have to tell you, like, when I think about Twilight versus Kilby, in my mind, this is the view from the street, to be clear. Twilight is like a millennial audience. Kilby is Gen Z. Like the Kilby lineup often are Gen Z member of our team is like knowing who these artists are, and the Twilight lineup, more the millennials on our team are like, oh yeah, I know who this artist is.
Yeah. I can see that. I would say that the millennials know the top end of our bill pretty well for Kilby, but I would agree. Mm. It does seem like the audience, like the kind of artists that you need to target for a Twilight show are like, they've got to be broad and therefore are somewhat older. How many people have heard of a band that's more targeted at millennials than Gen Z? I think the older band will fill that for us.
Sometimes when we have people on the show who have decision-making power in different ways in this city, I have to take advantage of that opportunity to pitch them on my dream. And that's about to happen to you.
Here we go. I'm ready.
Listen up, sharks. My dream for the Kilby Block Party, Will, is that it merges with the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
In a South by Southwest-esque, like, future, move Sundance into Salt Lake, get it out of Park City, start making money. LOL. This is my dream. Is that a nightmare scenario?
It's never going to work.
No, why?
I mean,
Austin does it?
Park City is like a wealth hub. Mm. Like, think about all the ancillary income that Sundance Film Festival has. Like, not necessarily to Sundance, but like all of the Airbnbs and the hotels and the restaurants. And that's like a lot of money. I think it's probably more money than the film festival itself is grossing at this point. Like the greater economy is more like, so
I think
like
you're right.
It's like a train. And so like for anyone to be like, let's merge these two concepts. We'd have to find a way to be in Park City in the winter, or I guess in the summer, but that'd be hard. But anyway, I think it's a wonderful idea to expand the concept, both concepts, but it would be difficult.
Okay. All right. I hear you. Well, zooming in a little bit, because besides these big festivals and concert series, your company books dozens of shows a month at local venues. What is the state of the concert industry in Salt Lake? I have to ask you, because we're now, like, you know, looking at my watch, very post-pandemic. Are things bouncing back?
I think pre-pandemic, what I was seeing was a lot of the larger corporate entities coming into Salt Lake, like Live Nation and AEG. So they were here pre-pandemic for varying amounts of time. And post-pandemic, both the corporate folks and independents like us are all just like producing so many concerts. And I think we're starting to see a leveling out in terms of like attendance. And like, for example, in 2021, we were selling out certain Twilight shows and then half of the people would show up. So like, half of the people would buy tickets, wouldn't come. Now you're seeing a much, much higher attendance to tickets sold ratio. I think most people are doing well still. I think most companies are doing well. I think interest in concerts in general is very high. I think to your point about Gen Z attendance is very, very high with concerts. I think that section of our population is spending money on experiences, not just concerts, but experiences. And so the short answer is the state of the concert industry locally is strong, I think.
Is it harder to book artists for a single show than to get them in a festival billing?
I think it just depends on the artist. There's people that really love to do just festivals. There's people that sort of don't really want to be doing festivals. And so it just depends. It's really dependent upon the artist.
Okay, before I let you go, I have to ask you, if nothing was off the table, except they have to still be alive, who is your dream artist to bring to Salt Lake?
Radiohead.
Oh, you had that.
For sure, yeah.
Has that been a dream for a while?
Yeah, Radiohead is our dream headliner for Kilby Block Party for sure. And it's not on the forefront, I'll say that.
Maybe they're listening.
Come to Salt Lake, please. That's my dream act.
Who are you most proud that you've brought to Salt Lake in your career of doing this?
That's a tough one. I don't really have an answer. I just like doing this. It's so fun.
I like that.
It's a really special job, and I'm really grateful that I get to come to work every day with people that I like and do something that I love. And I think I'm at a point in my life where I really can appreciate what we're doing and what we're able to accomplish.
Will Sartain, co-founder of SNS Presents, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Allie. I appreciate it.
All right, here's the scoop. Season tickets for the Downtown Twilight Concert Series are on sale at 10 a.m. today. Now, if you want to buy individual tickets for individual shows, you're going to have to wait until 10 a.m. Wednesday. As for Ogden Twilight and the Kilby Block Party, everything is on sale. I put all the links you need in the episode description. That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.